Wednesday, June 28th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The winter wheat was coming out yielding in the mid-80s between 70 and 90 in northeast Missouri, and they were double cropping soybeans into near perfect moisture conditions. They had too much rain earlier. The rain forecast for the Corn Belt short term would give crops a boost. The longer term forecast is always more uncertain, but much of the Corn Belt doesn't lack for subsoil moisture. Our soil can hold 12 inches, and we have not tapped much of it yet. Crop moisture requirements surge from here. The subsoil moisture means that we only need rain to supplement the crop needs this summer. We don't have to depend on rainfall for all of our moisture. Given how wet the eastern Corn Belt and southern Corn Belt were this spring, they have subsoil moisture too. The risk will be temperatures. Right now, our forecast highs only reach the mid-80s. As long as that is the case, we can just grow corn. Too much heat, however, stresses the plant's ability to bring up enough water from moisture reserves. There's a lot of diversity in regional crop condition. Some, such as the Dakotas, need more than one soaking rain to put the fire out. The 90-day Southern Oscillation Index was a -5.01, moving in the direction of El Niño during June. It takes a -8 90-day SOI to qualify as El Niño, according to Dr. Elwin Taylor. The Queensland government uses a -7 as its benchmark. The 30-day SOI is a -7.68. Taylor said the difference was arbitrary. I would think that this could be a bellwether for late improving summer weather, certainly better than moving toward La Niña, which brings hotter temperatures to the Corn Belt. Some argue that the Pacific Ocean is so warm that the SOI will be biased toward El Niño for some time as part of climate change. I don't think that this Congress is very predisposed to pass traditional subsidies, including the biodiesel tax credit. If pro-biofuel members of Congress had their druthers, they would flip the credit from blenders to producers and make it retroactive as well as extended. The trick is to find a piece of must-pass legislation that less supportive members of Congress will not vote against to tack the provision onto. This Congress only passed its must-pass legislation, so we wish them luck. REG biodiesel stock is continuing to score gains, suggesting that investor confidence exists for reauthorizing the credit. There's also optimism that Argentine biodiesel imports will be blocked, unable to tap into the credit as before. Things like this would have no chance without senators like Chuck Grassley. Green Plains Renewable Energy ethanol stock has been going down, making new lows for the year with no subsidies, lower oil prices, and a president that says he supports ethanol but has done nothing to prove it. Green Plains Renewable Energy has also been diluting its ethanol focus in cattle feeding ventures. They see them as diversity, but investors may not agree. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. Grain markets did not carry well on poor crop condition ratings to start the week. They have current rain in the market, too, as the trade positions for the major USDA reports on Friday. The bulls see conditions as the dark before the dawn, and the bears think the bulls own too much corn that they need yet to sell. It is hard to gauge acreage locally, but it would appear that there are a lot of soybeans, but not all gave up on corn on corn. There are a few contrarians in acreage out there that still planted corn. Farmers in general intended to plant more soybeans this year, and for the most part, planting was completed before crop insurance deadlines. They should have been able to plant the crop they intended. Rules on prevent plant got tougher, so there is less of that. Soybean crop condition is a little rough to start, but then again, USDA is using over 4 bushels less than last year for the yield. The soybean yield is determined in August, and the SOI movement could be favorable for them. On the cattle, last week the cash cattle market came tumbling down, and this week it is the product market that is falling. I've noted that I believe that beef prices had priced themselves out of the market and would have to retreat to rediscover demand interest. That is happening as they sell steak in 8-ounce portions, feature select beef to get the price down, and sell bone-in steak for as much as they've been selling boneless choice beef. The wholesale market needed to come down so beef can get back in the game. Packer margins have been running at records for this time of year, and they have plenty of room to help reduce beef prices to consumers. I believe strong beef exports have kept demand going even after domestic retailers and consumers balked. The beef going to China is a premium product, so that price doesn't appear to be an issue. Recent lows in futures need to hold to maintain a constructive chart pattern. The chart looked at August live cattle, finished a 3-wave correction, is in danger. I think that this may be the largest loss in the cash cattle market with feedlots still this current. There are a lot of reasons, including basis, market structure, carcass weights, to remain friendly this market. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.